Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you that you are a great and awesome God, a God that reigns. You reign on high. And Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being your children. And pray, Lord, that as we gather together, that we truly will worship you as we already have. And we will continue for the rest of the service. And Lord, also thank you for the blessings that you give us this past week. Thank you for the sunshine and for the rain, and that everything's growing so lush at this time. We thank you for that, and we pray that you continue to bless. And also thank you for the camp ministry that is going on these days, these weeks. Lord, I pray your blessing on the camp ministry, Lord. Grant that many young people and children and even adults, as they come to camp, that they will meet you, that they would come to know you as their own Savior and Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray, just do a special work in the hearts and lives of many people. Give the strength to the staff and those that are ministering, that they be able to do so with real joy. Pray also for the parking lot ministry, that it'll go well as well. And the coffee time on Tuesday. And grant the Lord that you would truly bless each aspect of this services here in this church. And Lord, I also want to pray for those that are sick. Heavenly Father, we have a list of them, and some of them have been sick quite a while, and we commit them to you. And Lord, we pray especially for Rose and Jordan and Terry and Bill and Colette and George and Inga and Lori and David. Lord, just grant that each of them would truly sense your presence and nearness. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would become very special to them this morning as they are thinking about you, and that they would truly worship you wherever they are and however they are able to. We commit them to you, and pray also for their loved ones as they suffer with them. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd put a special blessing on them. Also pray for those that are not able to attend and have other needs. We think of Paul and Mike and Vince and Herman. Lord, that you'd strengthen them in their faith and their walk with you, encourage them, uplift them, supply their needs. And also pray this for Mary and Annette and Mary Warkentine and Sophie. Lord, bless each one of them. And grant, Lord, that they would be blessed as they are limited in their ability to worship, that you'd truly bless them in spite of that and make them a blessing to others. Be also with those that are grieving, Lord. We think of the Peter Williams family and friends, and also Shirley Ouellette's family. Heavenly Father, as they are grieving, just grant that each of them would truly sense your presence and nearness, and grant that they be able to be uplifted in you, and that they be comforted through you. And Lord, I also pray for those that are not able to attend here. Lord, I pray that you just bless each one of them and encourage them, and that they too be able to worship you wherever they are. And Lord, I pray that you'd refresh and renew each one that is on vacation at this time. And Lord, I also pray for our young people as they're traveling home at this time. Lord, I pray that you give them journey's mercies. Grant that they'd not forget to worship you even on the bus, and that they would have a safe trip. Give the driver wisdom and alertness to be able to drive safely, and that the buses work well, and that you bring them all home safely, Lord. There's hundreds of kids that are traveling, and we commit them to you. Also pray that you'd be with Danielle Vellicott and the team that she's with. Lord, I pray your blessing on them as they minister in the Middle East. Lord, just bless them and strengthen them in their ministry, and grant that they be able to have many opportunities to share you with the people around about them, and that many would respond, and that you give health and strength to them and supply their needs. And now we thank you that Michelle was able to minister in Panama City, and Lord, I just pray your blessing as she reports on that ministry. Bless her, and grant that each of us would be challenged to be in prayer as well as be out there to serve you as well, and that we listen to your Spirit if you're calling us to be in ministry. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I'd like to introduce Michelle to you. Michelle Vicker is the daughter of Mac and Don. It's been a real joy to watch her grow up and become a mature young person and a leader in our youth group and in the past. And I still remember how she as she was on the committee to help with the youth group, how she'd come to the youth pastor and say, "I've got an idea." And I've overheard her saying that. She didn't know that. and she, these were ideas that were usually workable. And so that was great. It was exciting to see how she was involved. And it didn't stop when she left here. And I want to leave that as a challenge to the young people that are going off to college, university, whatever, to keep on with the Lord just like Michelle has done. And she got involved with Youth for Christ and ministry to the people in the university, and that's awesome. That's such potential, the kids in university. And she not only stopped with the kids in the university in Saskatoon, she got called to by the Lord to go minister in Panama City. And we'll let her tell us all about that, all the exciting times that she's had there. The Lord bless you.
So I just want to start off by reading Psalm 19, verse 14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So I guess Ed pretty much just introduced me. My name is Michelle Vickers, and I recently traveled to Panama with Campus Crusade for Christ. Crusade is an organization that is designed to change the world by turning lost students into Christ-centered laborers. I became involved in the movement at the U of S in my second year of university. I began to be involved in a Bible study, and I attended winter conference this past winter and felt God calling me to take a step of faith and follow him to Panama. I recently spent 6 weeks in Panama sharing the gospel. Panama is located in Central America, just above Colombia, and has a population of approximately 3 million people. I want to start off by saying thank you for all of your prayers and support while I was away. I want to first share a story of how God worked last year in one life and continued on this year. One of our translators, Alberto, came to Christ last year with a project team. The way God worked in his life was incredible. Alberto was ranked 30th in all of Panama in the satanic cult. But he wanted to practice his English, so he offered to translate for the Canadians. When they were sharing about Christ, he would not be translating the right things. Every morning, before he was going to translate, he became physically ill until he was brought to the point where he decided that he either needed to believe what he was translating or stop translating and go on with his life. He spoke with his sharing partner, and after wrestling with the idea of a relationship with Jesus Christ for a few days, he decided to follow Christ. He is continuing on Christ's path. This is just one example of a life that was completely changed. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." The first week in Panama was spent doing ministry training. As a team, we had 3 sessions each day and spent that time getting to know one another, learning about the culture, and how to effectively share God's word in Panama. Our team of 33 university students and Crusade staff from across Canada was then divided up into 4 different teams that each focused on a specific faculty on the campus of the National University of Panama. Within this first week, God stretched my faith in many ways. One of the things I began learning is complete reliance on God. This reliance was important for me to begin learning because in a country that is unfamiliar to you, where you don't speak the language, many, if not all, situations are out of your control. We spent the first week on campus doing random evangelism and speaking to different people on the campus about their views on spirituality and Jesus. I was amazed at the responses we received. There were very few people that would say they did not want to discuss Jesus or spiritual things with you. The culture is very open to the idea of a relationship with Jesus Christ. My team had the faculty of social communications and media. This was supposed to be the hardest faculty on campus because of the opposition from the leaders in the faculty. Our prayer goal was for 8 spiritual multipliers in the faculty. Our team desired to leave these 8 people who would carry on the work that we were doing and who would be able to spread God's word in the faculty once we were gone. We were allowed to do 3 leadership talks in 3 different classrooms simultaneously, but we were not allowed to share the gospel at this time. But God truly showed his faithfulness through the comment cards, which were how we obtained people's contact information and what they were interested in learning more about. We received approximately 60 contacts from these 3 talks. With these contacts, we would meet up with them and share the 4 Spiritual Laws booklet or the Spirit-Filled Life booklet, depending on where they were at, and then we'd continuously meet up with them and later and disciple them. In Panama, when meeting with people who wanted to know more about Jesus or get involved, it could become very frustrating because people would show up 30 minutes late if they showed up at all. We were told that the percentage of people that usually showed up for meetings was 10%. God completely shattered this number, and I think he gave us around 20 to 25%. I want to encourage you with 3 specific examples of God's faithfulness and power during the project. The first example is our campus-wide outreach. We had many, many prayers answered during this time. A committee of 10 outreach coordinators and promotion people decided that an outreach that would best suit the campus would be a concert. We had 2 weeks for all of the details to fall into place. And God began working right away. Within 4 days of deciding to put on a concert, both bands were lined up and were ready to play. The next prayer that God answered was that of the budget. We partnered with the Panamanian staff and received amazing God-given deals on both the equipment and the stage. We decided to hold the event in the open-air theater. However, we did not hear if we had permission to use the theater until only 3 days before the concert. We also handed out real-life kits, which included a pamphlet on Campus for Christ, or Student Life, it's called down there, and a New Testament Bible. These Bibles were donated to us by the Gideons in Panama, and they donated 200 Bibles. There was one concern that we had been praying without ceasing about, and this was the rain. Almost every day since we had arrived in Panama, it had rained during the day. And this would be a big problem because we were holding the concert outside. But God allowed not a single drop of rain to fall during our time on the campus that day. The final aspects of God's faithfulness in this situation were the people who attended the concert. There were close to 300 people in attendance throughout the afternoon. This means that over 300 people were exposed to the gospel that day in one form or another. We had 4 students share their testimonies, 2 Panamanians and 2 Canadians. One of our Canadian staff members, Tom Eckner, shared the gospel, and one of the Panamanian staff members, Tanya Vega, shared this vision of student life. God's provision for us during this concert completely blew me away. It also made me realize how peaceful life can be when you've completely surrendered your circumstances and the outcome to God. Another thing that it taught me is how we box God in and limit what we think he can and will do. God also tested our faith in response to his timing. Oliver, who is one of the Panamanian staff, was not able to contact the man with the sound equipment until the morning of the concert. And the Bibles didn't actually show up until about an hour before the event was supposed to start. So the second experience with God's faithfulness is my team's faculty outreach. This really humbled me and reminded me that I wasn't the one doing the work, God was. The faculty outreach was the day after the large outreach, and I was extremely tired. That day, I did not really want to be on campus. I wanted to be back sleeping. God really worked through me that day, though. We didn't begin our talk until 45 minutes after it was supposed to start, and we had to bring people into the hallway, in from the hallways, advertising with the free pizza we had. I had a meeting with a girl shortly after it finished. I had no translator to go with me, and I didn't want to go because really, what were the chances of her showing up? But I went, although I wasn't happy about it. On the way, God said to me, "Why are you mad? Why are you upset? You came to serve my people." At that moment, I said, "Okay, God, this is all you." The girl I met with, Anna Melissa, ended up speaking enough English that we could communicate. But she also ended up being a Panamanian that God had for me to disciple. I was really encouraged that day because it reminded me that it was the Holy Spirit. It was nothing that I did or that I said that allowed her to pray to receive the Holy Spirit. The final example that I want to give you is from the Jesus film cycle. The cycle is where we went out to surrounding cities and worked with volunteers to show the Jesus video. This year we were also on campus for 3 days. The city we went to, David, is a city of approximately 125,000 people. There was one particular day when our team went sightseeing to a town north of David called Buketa. We were given the opportunity to show the film there. During the day, our team was praying that God's will would be done no matter what happened. It began to rain as we were promoting the film. And at this time, the few blocks that we were on lost electricity. We were all trying to stay faithful in both our actions and our prayers. When we finally decided not to show the film, two of the Panamanians who were with us were shivering and beginning to get sick. And two of the Canadians had already gone back to David because they were sick. We had given the day up to God, so we were not discouraged about having not shown the film that night. Everyone had a restful night and recovered. God was faithful in giving us the rest and the peace that we needed. The next night, we showed the film and had 14 children pray to receive Christ. God exceeded all of our prayer requests, and these three examples are only a portion of what God did. The final stats from just the campus cycle were 490 new Christians, 35 students prayed to receive the Holy Spirit, and currently there are 105 students in follow-up and discipleship. The experience I had in Panama cannot be compared to anything. God taught me more than I could ever imagine. One of the things that concerned me while I was there and really made me think about the Christian church in Canada is the number of people who say they are Christians and have the knowledge about Christ, but they don't know who he truly is or have complete faith in him. I believe that it is our responsibility as Christians to spread the truth. A.W. Tozer, a Christian author, stated that a whole new generation of Christians has come up believing that it is possible to accept Christ without forsaking the world. And this is what we encountered in Panama. I believe that it is also an important reason we are affected in today's culture because of our view of faith. We studied the topic of faith during our team's debrief, and I want to share the description of faith and how it has affected my life. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, faith is described as being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. There are seven different components of faith that became very real to me in Panama, taken from Hebrews 11. And you can turn there if you would like to. The first component of faith is worship faith. This is encountered in Abel when he approached the Lord in Genesis 4 to present his sacrifice. In Hebrews 11:4, it states, "By faith Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith he still speaks even though he is dead." This type of faith allows us to see that there are two approaches towards God. One approach is God's way, with a pure and humble heart, and this will lead to life. The other approach is the human way, when you approach God with a prideful and deceiving heart. This way will lead to death. Worship faith can be defined by how you come before God and what you offer him. In coming back to Canada, it has made me realize that I have to always allow God to do his work in people. I can come before him and be a willing servant, but I have to choose to present my life to him with a humble heart and to serve him every day as my act of worship. The second component of faith is the walk of faith. This is embodied by Enoch. If we look at his life, there are three main aspects of his faith that were important. First of all, he walked faithfully with God for 300 years. Secondly, he was a family man. Our leader posed the question to us that if you really want to know someone's faith, is to ask their family, what would your family say about your faith? And thirdly, the climate of his faith. In Genesis 5, it mentions that Enoch is living in the time before Noah. Therefore, it is a very dark time in the world, as stated in Genesis 6:5. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. Realizing that the climate of his faith was not a perfect one can make us see that our faith does not depend on our environment, but on our relationship with God. Faith grows in troubled soil. This became more of a reality to me because it is one thing to have faith in God when you are on a mission project surrounded by other Christians, and then to come home and have complete faith when you return. You are pushed back into reality, back into putting to work the lessons and the teaching that you have learned on the project. It does show you that faith really can grow in troubled soil. In Genesis 5:24, it says, Enoch walked with God, then he was no more, because God took him away. Hebrews 11:5 elaborates more on this. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. Before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. The third component is the work of faith. There are three different components to this work of faith, and they are all embodied by Noah in Genesis 6-9. There is an intellectual component, where we give facts. This is sort of like what Paul explained in 1 Corinthians 15:3-8. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. There is also an emotional element. Noah was moved by godly fear. And finally, there's the volitional element of faith. Noah did something. He chose to act on what God was asking him to do. This is important for me when coming back from Panama because I need to give the facts of what God did in Panama. I need to express how God worked in my life to move me towards his emotions and his desires. If I don't choose to do these things, there is no work. This is the same as in every day. We have a responsibility to take and choose that work aspect of faith. In James 2, verse 17, Paul argues that faith is not complete without works. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. We have a responsibility to share our faith and why we were moved towards God. The fourth component to consider is that faith is an adventure. This is, again, is given to us in an example of Abraham. Abraham chose to follow God when God asked him to leave the center of civilization and move to a foreign land. This truly would be an adventure. Think of the last time you went camping or on a road trip. Those events are always considered adventures. Now, what adventure do you believe God is asking you to follow him on? Abraham's faith is closely linked with his obedience. He did not put his faith on a path. God is asking us as Christians to follow his instructions that are found in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The fifth component is the patience of faith, from Hebrews 11, verse 9. By faith, Abraham made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. This, again, is an example from the life of Abraham. He didn't own any land. He waited for the Lord to fulfill the promises that were made, that he would have a son and that his children would be more numerous than the stars. The patience of faith brings me to two questions. The first is, what are we really living for? Are we living for ourselves or to please God? The second is, where is my home? Do I have my treasure stored up in heaven or here on earth? The thing we must realize is that we are living in the land of the dying and on our way to the land of the living. It is shown throughout the Bible that only a faith with patience that can wait upon the Lord to fulfill his promises will persevere. The certainty of faith is the sixth component. In Hebrews 11, verses 11 and 12, it says that by faith Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered himself faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand of the seashore. This example of the certainty of faith is given in the birth of Isaac in Genesis 16. Abraham was certain and trusted that the Lord would fulfill his promise to grant him a son. In my life, I find that I might believe that God can do something, but I might not believe that God will do something. This is where my faith can fall apart. If I was to walk onto campus or my workplace where I've been praying that God will move, and knowing that he can, but not believing that he will, this is a lack of my trust in God. And finally, the seventh component is a test of faith. From verses 17 to 19 in Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. The true test of Abraham's faith came when God asked him to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice. God chose an aspect of Abraham's life that could have interfered in their relationship, and he put it to the test. And this is after Abraham has been testifying for the Lord. One thing we must remember is that if we testify for Jesus Christ, our faith will be put to the test. Coming back from a mission project, when I have just been serving the Lord, or going back to work after having talked to a coworker about Jesus, both are taking a stand for the Lord. And we can be assured that after taking a stand for the Lord, our faith will be put to the test. James 1, verses 2 to 4 says to consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. So our view of faith includes our worship, our walk, and our works. Faith is also an adventure that will increase our patience, increase our certainty of faith, and will test our faith. Faith is always doing something. Faith is very personal, but it is never, ever private. Faith is always active and never passive. In conclusion, I would like you to think about your own faith. Imagine if God was to choose four episodes of faith in your life. Would he have trouble choosing four? And I also ask you to consider what steps of faith God is asking you to take. Imagine if Hebrews 11 had room for more verses and my name or your name was there. For example, by faith Michelle or by faith Christine. What would your faith aspect be? I hope that you have been encouraged by what God is doing in Panama. This year, Campus Crusade is sending a student team to Panama for a year to continue the work God has started. This will be the first year for this, and Jessica, who is also Kevin Penner's niece, is going to Panama for the year, and I believe she's coming next week to share more about this. So I now want to show you a slideshow of my experience in Panama.
Thank you. we cry out, driving across. You got emotion, yeah, my God. I wanna ever get my
Thank you, Michelle, for giving us that challenging message on faith and telling of all the illustrations of how God worked through faith. That's just awesome how God does that. And it's interesting to hear how she was totally baptized into the ministry of mission work. And it's good to see that and hear how she went through this walk of faith. And I'm sure Michelle has quite a few people that need prayer. And why don't you go and talk to Michelle and pick up each one or whoever God calls. If you ask, if you'd like to pray for one of these people that Michelle has, why don't you go talk to her and ask for that name and for a name that you person that you can pray for. And that person needs a lot of support at this time as a new Christian or whatever it may be. So I challenge you to go and talk to Michelle this afternoon or whenever, or this morning right after the service, and get a name from her to pray for that person. And I'm also happy that Jessica Fable is coming next Sunday, and just a, like Michelle mentioned, a follow-up of what has happened this summer. They're going to keep on working on that, and that is exciting. I'm just so happy that that's fitting together, even with just the reports, and that Jessica is going to come here and tell of how God is leading her to do the follow-up work of what was already done. And that's so important. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are such a great and awesome God, and that as we have faith in you, that we will truly be able to walk in victory. And I pray for those that have made a commitment to you in Panama City and the other places that they were, Lord, that each of them would walk in faith, that they would trust you, not trust in their own strength, not trust in their own abilities, but trust in you to be able to walk in victory, and that they in turn could be shining lights for you. And I pray, Lord, that you'd also prepare their hearts as they prepare for hearing what the next team has to teach them, so that they would grow in their faith and in their walk with you. And that through this, there'd be a great effect on the whole country of Panama. We pray that you'd also bless each one of us as we go through this coming week, that we truly walk by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship team.